Case number 03-1072L, James A. Kane Appellant versus Federal Communications Commission. Ms. Smith, the appellate.
All right, may it please the court, I'm Bob Keller and I represent the joint appellants in this case. Before I begin, I'd just like to point out to the court, if it doesn't already know, that on Wednesday, there are three...
Where are we?
Okay, you're aware of that, so I'll only be arguing on the first two cases. This case involves assignment applications for land mobile radio applications that were licenses that were filed with the FCC in 1994. The underlying licenses that were being assigned expired in 1996, and then 4 years after that, the commission dismissed the applications on the grounds that the underlying licenses had expired.
Why didn't the holder of the underlying licenses apply for an extension?
Your Honor, I would be speculating on that because the record doesn't reveal one way or the other.
Okay.
I could offer speculation, but it's not in the record, so I don't know that it would be any use there. And also, I would point out that that appeared not to be relevant to the commission's decisions. The commission's point was simply that the expiration of the licenses itself justified the dismissal. we submit that the dismissals were not warranted on that grounds for actually three different reasons. One, Section 9B of the Administrative Procedure Act, we submit, applies in a situation like this, that the filing of these assignment applications, particularly in the circumstances and the procedures applicable in 1994, to these types of licenses triggered Section 9B, which preserved the effectiveness of the license, notwithstanding the...
Doesn't that section begin when the licensee has made timely application?
I'm not sure about that, Your Honor.
It does.
I'm just reading to it. It says, okay, when the licensee has made timely application.
Right. Well, then
this court's Miami opinion, we said that it protects those persons who, quote, already have regularly issued licenses.
Okay. Yes, but Your Honor, first of all, in an assignment application, there are two parties to the application, so the licensee is a party to the application when it is filed. I mean, you cannot file an assignment application unilaterally. Two parties both have to come together to file the application. And what happens, moreover...
Doesn't the applicant file a different document?
Well, they're all one and the same application.
But it's a different document.
It's a different document, but it's the same...
It's a different number.
It's a different number, but it's the same application. They're filed together.
But this says, even so, it says, quote, when the licensee has made timely and sufficient application.
And precisely, the licensee files an application seeking consent to assign his license to the assignee. And the document, the second document that you're talking about, the Form 1046 that he signs, expressly states that he certifies that the assignee is going to continue the operations that he pursued under this license. But even if Section 9B did not apply, and I submit that it does, there's also Section 310D of the Act itself, I think, first of all, is relevant to the 9B argument.
Section what?
310D. Section 310D of the Communications Act provides, and the particular part is the last sentence of it, which says, any such application, and they're referring to assignment and transfer applications, shall be disposed of as if the proposed transferee or assignee were making an application under Section 308 of this permit for the license in question. In other words, another argument that we made below...
The commission's answer to that is that all that means is that the commission has to determine whether the assignee has the qualifications required under 308.
Well, that's
what the commission says.
Well, but that's not what the statute itself says. The statute itself very plainly says it shall be treated as if this were a new application being made for the licensee. Also, even if the commission's point there were true as a general matter, in this particular circumstance, the procedures applied in 1994 really did have the assignee file what is in essence a whole new application. I mean, to go back to your earlier question about the two separate forms, even though they're a single application, under the current procedures, there would be a single form signed by both parties.
Can I ask you, before you get back to that, on your 310D argument, did you raise it below?
Yes.
Can you tell me where I looked through the appendix, and I don't see it in any of the petitions?
Well, we certainly raised the argument that this should be treated as a new application.
No, that's a different question. You're arguing that Section 310D requires the same rules to be applied.
Okay. Well, I'll have to go back and check and see what we said or didn't say about citing Section 310D specifically, but we did specifically argue that this should be treated as if it were a new application.
The argument under the APA. It's a different argument under 310D, and if you didn't make it, then the commission didn't have an opportunity to pass on it, and as you know, it means we don't have jurisdiction to consider it. So along the same lines as the previous counsel, if you could submit something, I guess.
Mark, I can submit something within a day or so. But
yes, I'll just submit something within a day.
Simple referencing to you what we've argued.
You know, where you argued the 310D argument.
Okay, and I want to reiterate, I may or may not
cite 310D. If you did or
made the argument, the substantive argument.
Right. If you'd say that you didn't in the letter, that would be helpful.
Okay, that's fine. And then finally, and this is sort of related to the same 310D argument, but it's a different aspect of it, is the whole concept of discrimination or discriminatory treatment, disparate treatment of similar applications.
Yeah. Now, did you make that argument before the commission? I know that it was made by Sobel.
Okay.
But Sobel's not here anymore.
Yeah, I will have to check on that, Your Honor,
okay.
as well.
You want to add that to your...
I'll add that to my letter. But the essence of the argument there was, and if it was only Sobel, I'll also state, but the essence of that argument was, in effect, that under the commission's procedures, again, in 1994 and even currently, there's absolutely no distinction between, no substantive distinction between the kind of an assignment application we filed versus if an applicant had made a new application.
Constitutional argument you're making?
It's a due process argument, I think.
A constitutional due process?
Well, I'm not
sure. Substantive due process?
I'm not sure on that. But, I mean, it's certainly true that the commission...
It would have to be...
Under Melody Music, this court has held that the commission can't treat similarly situated applications...
But you aren't similarly situated. It's a different procedure.
Well, I believe we are. It's a different name of procedure, but there's no substantive difference. In the case of the new application, that's a short-spaced consent and a dismissal, the new applicant files a new application in his own name on 574. The existing licensee agrees to later cancel his license, and essentially the same thing happens in the assignment. It's exactly the same process.
It's a different procedure.
It's a different nominal procedure, but it's the same substantive process. There's no distinction.
You're going to let us know, though, whether or not.
Yes, I'll let us know whether that argument was put forth by the other licensees. So I mean that's essentially it. I mean we believe that 9B does apply on all of its various terms. The commission has frequently argued that the licensee still had a duty to renew the license, and that but my point is that the expiration of the licenses here is not disputed. But it's totally irrelevant. I mean, if we're going under 9B of the APA, clearly the expiration of the licenses is not relevant because that's the whole point of Section 9B.
Yeah, but 9B talks about a new application or renewal.
Right.
It's not, neither of them are what we're speaking about here.
Well, we believe it's certainly a new application, and it's...
It's not by the licensee. It's not a new application for the licensee. It's a new application for someone else.
Well, I understand, but I still come back to the point that the licensee is a party to that application. Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court. An assignment application does not result in a new or renewed license for the assignor or the assignee. In an assignment...
What about the argument he just made that the licensee here did apply?
The assignor participates in the assignment application, but that is not a new license to the assignor. There's nothing new about a license that's issued through an assignment except for the identity of the license holder. The assignee takes the license exactly as it was held by the assignor, including the same expiration date.
You're relying on the language for a renewal or a new license, right?
Yes.
If not either one.
And also, the purpose of Section 9B is to protect the current license holder and to allow the current license holder to continue to engage in already authorized operations while awaiting for commission action on a pending renewal request. And that was not the type of application that was filed here by any of the licensees.
So in this case, the licensee could have applied for a renewal at the same time that the application was made for transfer, right?
That they could have applied if their license came up, their licenses came up for renewal. They could not have, but they probably would not have applied for a license renewal at the time that they filed their assignment applications in 94.
Well,
they would have filed renewal applications in 96,
right,
as was done in the Sobel case.
Right, so sometime during the period in which the transfer was pending, when it got close to the time that the license was expiring, they could have applied for the renewal.
Yes, they had an obligation to apply for renewal.
Well, they could have let it expire if they didn't care.
And in this case, they did, and that's undisputed. Mm-hmm. And Kay concedes that the licenses, at least as to the license holders, have expired. Mm-hmm. And because the licenses expired, the assigners had no licenses to assign, and so the commission dismissed the pending assignment applications. Unless the court has any questions.
No.
Thank you.
Mr. Keller had some time, right?
I have 1 minute.
Go ahead.
Your Honor, I'll still submit a letter, but I wanted to point out.
I'd like your letter by the close of business on Monday.
Well, that's fine. I'll have it to you before then.
Yeah.
Certainly no later than then.
Right.
But I would point out in the meantime that on pages 40 to 41 of the joint appendix, as I said, I believe the same argument was made, whether we specifically cited the statutory language of Section 310D, but in subheading 2A, the argument was put forth that Kay's application should have been treated as an application for a new license, and this was independent of the 9B argument, which is the second section. And I'll put out some more information and provide it in the letter. Thank you very much.
Case is submitted.